who you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday in the big city. Football heavy, hour number one, and we promised we'll get to some Astros. But again, much like just about every one of you all weekend long, you basically forgot your Astros were still playing because you were so focused on the fact that football has started, Barry. It's a very important thing. Games are great, quality of play fantastic, and this is what we were all waiting for. In the process of saying all that, we saw week number one of the NFL without your Texans because they play tonight and they got a big one.
So I put a poll on my Twitter.
Yep.
Do you, and it's almost unanimous, but the question was, will the Texans score more points than the Astros did yesterday? Astros put up 21.
21.
Now, that's the over-under is set at 21. Are the Texans going to score at least 22 or are they going to score less? What say you, Joel?
I'm going over, but at the slightest of slight margins, I'll take the over.
Okay.
I think they're going to be playing from behind. I think that the Saints have been at their worst in week one over the last five-plus years. I know that they got a bit of the red ass going because of the fact of what happened the last 2 years, and Drew Brees a lot of people thought at the end of the year last year, Drew Brees showed that he's finally fallen off. He's going to have something extra on his agenda, too. But I just think the Texans have enough weapons now. And like you and I said, short-term, they're a better team. I don't know if Tunsil, you know, how quickly he gets comfortable. But I think that they'll score 21 points.
Okay. I think I'm going to lean. I think I'll go over simply because the interior of that Saints defense right now, they're missing about 12.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Rankins out and on Yamada. So I think that that'll matter.
Just to say something about my mom? No?
Oh, yeah, mama, on Yamada.
Yeah.
I think that'll matter. And now we'll see how much pass rush that the Texans have as well. Obviously, Jadeveon Clowney being gone. This is going to be that first test. That's a decent Saints offensive line. That's a good offensive line. So we'll see how the secondary holds up against Drew Brees, who just seems to get better with age.
Big question for me is how the Texans run the ball.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, too.
You know, Hyde says he wants a fresh start, and he's going to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Duke Johnson to know anything other than the fact that he comes in with a good reputation of being a very skilled back, both catching the football and from time to time carrying it. But we don't know if they're going to be able to do anything close to replace Lamar Miller.
And what's the line going to look like? I mean, we know what Tunsil brings to the table, but what is the rest of that line going to do? Is the left side going to be okay, but the right side is awful? And we don't know yet.
Are the two rookies going to be able? Preseason's one thing, but is Sharping and Howard, are they going to be able to step in, and right from week one be effective? We don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks still. I mean, you know, you have your constants. I think Kenny Stills is obviously going to add depth to that wide receiving core, and I think you're fine at safety. It's just how will the secondary hold up? How will the cornerback specifically hold up? Can you get any kind of pressure on Drew Brees? And can you protect Deshaun Watson? And these are all questions that I think everybody's known kind of going into this game, but we find out tonight. Well, what do you think happens?
The other thing is, I mean, you look at it and say, okay, I can say that at least like we said in the short term, I think offensively they're better except for we don't know how they're going to replace and if they can replace Lamar Miller. Defensively, they're worse. Because defensively, regardless of what they try to do, you've lost Jadeveon Clowney.
Okay,
so you got to figure out someone to step up there. And then from a secondary perspective, which we keep highlighting, from a corner's perspective, they got older, they got slower, and I don't know that they got better anywhere in the secondary except for the fact that you have a stud at safety.
Mm-hmm.
So I think overall, if I was going to look at the score, I would say that the Saints are probably, I'll say 35-21 Saints.
Ooh. 35-21.
I definitely think New Orleans is going to put 30-plus on them. And I just because of, for the sake of my own comment you just asked me about, they got to score 21 for the Texans. So I'll say, okay, 31-21. I'll go 31-21 Saints.
So I was going to say, because 35-21, the over-under is 52.5.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
That's right on it, 31-21.
31-21 is 52, so you're taking the under?
I'll take the under.
The Saints?
31-21 really? Saints, yep.
Ooh, I think I would take the over. I think the Texans put up 24, which means the Saints score at least 28, but I think they score more than that. I think 31-24.
I think they might call off the
– You think?
Depending on how the game
Listen,
goes.
Listen, Drew Brees needs 20 touchdown passes to pass to Peyton Manning for number
one
all time.
He ain't getting them all in one game.
No, he ain't getting them all in one game, but he ain't squandering any opportunities. At home, first game of the season, something to prove. If that man can put up 5 touchdown passes and it's in the fourth quarter, he's putting them up.
I think on the flip side, too, interesting things to watch because of the fact that Mark Ingram got off to a great start with his new team, the Ravens. But that thunder and lightning combination is no longer in New Orleans. Now Kamara's got to carry the full load. Kamara's got to be not only the versatile guy that gets you yards out of the backfield, he's got to tote the rock on a consistent basis. Yep. So that's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, Michael Thomas got the money.
You don't think he can?
I think he can, yes. I just want to see. Again, that's a lot more wear and tear.
True.
When you're not sharing any of it.
We said the same thing about Christian McCaffrey, and it's literally the Carolina McCaffreys at this point. Without him, that offense has nothing. And so
look,
I think Kamara can be Christian McCaffrey.
I hope Kamara
absolutely
is, because I got him on my fantasy team, and I hope he rolls.
Speaking of how are you and Clarence doing week one?
Old Clarence was already backtracking by about halfway through the early games yesterday. He's like,
"That's outstanding.
I know I talked a lot of mess, but Joel's team looks pretty good.
I made a couple
of really stupid mistakes.
You did?
First week mistakes. I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of the Eagles offense.
Okay.
And so, Alshon Jeffries.
Oh.
At the last minute, they said for week one, he's probably more like a third receiver on the Eagles, but he'll get better.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw the Chargers, and I'm like, they're going to have Phil's going to throw it all over the lot for the Chargers against the Colts. I'll take Mike Williams. Mike Williams got hurt, and Alshon Jeffries played well. But overall, I'm down 20, but I have Brees, Kamara, and the Raiders tight end, and he has a field goal kicker in the Saints defense.
I mean, I don't want to say I'm a genius, but I'm a genius.
Did you roll?
I mean, no, I just drafted Lamar Jackson in both leagues, and because I'm a genius, so.
Like we were just saying for the first hour of the show, week one does not crown a champion, week one.
Too bad I only started him in one league.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's the other thing. What's the beauty in having him if you don't play him?
Well, the ESPN league, I also have Deshaun Watson. So that was my first quarterback pickup. I picked up Lamar Jackson as a backup. So I've started Watson, and I'm starting to think now that was a huge mistake, not only just because of the day he had, but the fact that they were playing the Dolphins should have been my cue that, yeah, I probably should have rolled with Lamar Jackson. But you didn't really know what you were going to get necessarily from him. He thought he was going to be better. He looked a little better in preseason.
So where do you think we're at? Because I'm going to tell you, I want you to tell me who's going to win. Because I was winning most of the day and night, and then he unloaded every chamber. He had Brady last night. He had Connor last night. So he's up 108-87. So he's up essentially 20 points.
Yeah.
And I have Brees, Kamara, and
if you don't get 30 out of those guys.
Right, and the Raiders tight end, Darren Waller, who's supposed to be one of their number one options. And
well, he is now with Brown gone.
And he has Saints D, Saints kicker.
Saints D, I don't.
Not this week.
No.
And Saints kicker.
I think you're good.
Yeah, I think
it'll be close. I think you win.
He was already backpedaling, though, Saturday. Sunday afternoon.
That's awesome.
I loved seeing that.
So final score for the Texans game. You have 31-21.
Yep.
I have it 34. No, what did I say? 31-24. Yeah, 31-24 okay. Saints. So we both have the Saints winning. Both have the Texans offense looking decent. But
now, of the three of us, the Kool-Aid drinker in the bunch is always Nicholas. Nick, how do you see tonight going in your prediction?
I don't think the Texans break 10 points, man. I think it's a terrible game for the Texans.
Ooh,
so,
that's what I've
been saying all along. So I don't think they're going to be able to put any numbers against the Saints team. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I feel.
So your final is what?
Do you have a score?
No, I didn't have a score. I would imagine that the Saints put at least 3 touchdowns on the Texans, though, for sure.
All right.
For sure.
See, someone
so you think it's 21-10 at least?
Yeah. And maybe it's because I got Michael Thomas on my team, and I really need him
winning?
To score. I'm winning. I think I got this week one in the.
Damn. Am I the only one losing in the ESPN leagues?
Well, yeah. I'm down 20, but I got a bunch of people playing tonight.
I'm down two, but I don't have anybody worthwhile. I mean, I have Deshaun Watson, but he ain't going to make up the ground that I need him to make
up.
How
far down are you?
Hold on. 50? I'll tell you. No. It's
Are you a 50-piece down?
More.
No way!
134 to 82.
Oh, my God. Did you even forget to put a lineup in? Or
Shut
what?
Up, Joel.
What are you doing?
I still have Deshaun Watson and Philip Lindsay left.
Oh, well, joy to the world. You should win by at least a point or two.
Well, the good news is he has nobody left.
He doesn't have to. He emptied all the chambers of everything he had.
So
what
you
are
don't
you
think,
doing?
You don't think Watson and Lindsay can get me 60?
No, I do not. Good Lord, man.
Hey, shut up, all right?
Did you see, by the
this
way?
This is week one, all right? No one wins fantasy in week one or
you
loses
keep listening
it.
To me. I keep preaching that. And then I saw the score of your game. Good Lord. Someone, let me just say this. No one wins it in week one, but you could lose it in week one.
Oh,
you keep doing that.
Shut up.
That's
hate
terrible.
You.
And someone did text in, by the way, that I was right. And Nadal's watch was one of those Richard Mille watches yesterday.
Really?
So I guess they're trying to make a subtle move on the market in the watch business.
Well, hey, listen, if you want to start your savings account towards getting money to buy one of those $350,000 watches, you should start it with GetUpside. Look, I'm not suggesting you're going to get $350,000 in your account, but somebody just texted the show while I was doing the read for GetUpside about an hour ago, and they said, dude, I just got $5 back filling up this time around. Guys, this is legitimate money you're leaving at the pump if you're not using the app. I promise you that. And same thing with the food. Go do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside right now. And then when you do that, put in my promo code Barry, because they're going to give you a little reward for just using the app and trying it out. And that promo code will get you some extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. So like I say, you can already get up to 25 cents a gallon. That promo code could get you even more. My wife ended up getting 30 cents. But I know, like, Jake Asman got $7 back on his first fill up. We had another listener tell me that they got six something back on their first fill up. So it's legit money. You just got to download it and use it to try it. And that's the beautiful thing about GetUpside. You're not locked into a commitment. You don't have to, well, I got to use it for a year now or pay a monthly fee. There's none of that. You download it. It's free. You don't like it, don't use it. It's that simple. There's just no reason not to give this a try unless you hate money. And I know you don't hate money. So do yourself a favor right now. Put GetUpside on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. And don't forget, there's restaurants in there where you can get up to 35% cash back. There's over 100 around the city. I just saw where they added Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm pumped about that. So if you want to get cash back for your breakfast in the mornings, download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and y'all thank me later.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Shenandoah. If you say to yourself, where is Shenandoah? Well, Barry could have told you that. If you listen to the show, he can explain to you. You go right at Shenandoah. If you go left, it's what, spring?
Shenandoah is a little further north. When you get to Rayford Sawdust, if you go right, it's spring. If you go left, it's the Woodlands.
Okay.
So we're just north of the Woodlands.
Close enough.
Yeah. Because it's weird when you get past spring.
I don't give a Shenandoah. I know
Oak Ridge,
where we are.
And then Shenandoah, and it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of little bitty
communities. Those Oak Ridge boys could sing.
All right.
So we're on the backside of the Woodlands.
Elvira.
How about that? Giddy up,
Oompapa.
And you should be too. Stop and see us. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. Texans play at 6:10. So what
Boom.
A way to get out of work early, enjoy the eats, drinks, scenic views,
Sorry.
Start watching the football game, and if you so desire,
just have it to
there's actually a second game tonight.
Yeah.
Broncos,
yeah.
Raiders, for you degenerates and sleep-deprived people that are looking for something to view.
Yeah, I think at this point when it's Broncos-Raiders, other than just wanting to see the train wreck of the Raiders, I'm footballed out for the week. I probably am not going to stay up and watch the whole thing.
See Chucky scowl the whole game?
Yeah, I'm not.
That guy right there should have been on our football team.
I'm not exactly into it.
Yeah, it is.
Who did that? Wow.
Someone, Tyler, is showing us a tweet.
So tell us what it is.
It was Houston Texans on CBS Sports.
Yes.
Tweeted out game day. They tagged the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are back. And it's a picture of Clowney.
In a Texas uniform.
In a Texas uniform.
Well done, people.
This is on Facebook, by the way, not Twitter. They're getting killed for it.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Did you also see, by the way, that, and our friend the Texas Tiger, who's obviously giddy, but at least he knows how to handle it, Ed Orgeron said that LSU didn't have air conditioning in their locker room during the game. They were tipped off by another team that might be the case. So they brought blowers.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech told them. Okay.
Great way to get over things if you get a blower in the locker room.
Yeah, somebody's trying to say, oh, that's why they were cramping. Guess what? I don't care.
I don't
care about any of that.
Good win, LSU.
Yeah, good win,
LSU.
Keep doing it. Good job, but stay classy, Tigers fan. One thing we didn't mention before we move on and talk Astros or whatever else we're going to talk about, but Michigan.
Oh my God!
Holy hell!
And I was hoping.
Because we went over. Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah.
But we talked about the upsets. That might as well have been an upset. It really should have.
It really should have been. I mean, how many years is Michigan going to give Harbaugh a pass?
Horrible.
Yeah, well, because of the fact that, I mean, he has been nothing short of horrible, but yet everybody keeps saying, well, next year's going to be the year he gets over the top. Next year's going to be the year he competes for a national title. No, every year it's next year because of the fact that he continues to slip up and he hasn't done anything.
Dude, they fell three spots and they won. That's how bad. They say there's no bad wins. That was an awful win. It was an awful win. They should have lost.
If you missed it, it's overtime, and the Army quarterback was going to back to pass, fumbled, and Michigan recovered it so that they could win by a field goal.
Yep.
It was
And did you see the way
awful.
They celebrated?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
then they ran over to the student section and were jumping up on the wall.
You would have thought they won the national championship the way they were celebrating beating Army in overtime. I tell you what, they're 2-0, but it is not an impressive 2-0 because even against Memphis, not Memphis, Middle Tennessee, they didn't even look that good. They gave up 21 to Middle Tennessee. That's not a good Michigan team. I'm not buying what they're selling over there for sure.
No, I'm totally with you. That's right. Okay, so with all that being said, and the Texans, as we got into that, and we can continue to talk about that leading up to the 6-10 kickoff in New Orleans against the Saints. Like I said, everybody forgot about the Astros. Oh, by the way, Garrett Cole's birthday yesterday, 29. Oh, by the way, I don't know, and I was going to ask you what trumps a Verlander no-hitter, but a one-hitter on your birthday in which you are exceeding all kinds of records from a strikeout perspective still ain't bad. You got the two best pitchers in the American League, and boy, are they showing it. He went off yesterday, joined an elite club with three straight games of, 14-plus strikeouts. Fantastic. And the bats just woke up. Great to see Springer come back from the concussion and go yard with another ding-dong. He's got 31 now. So the offensive
– Can we not call it a ding-dong? Can we just – is it okay?
Why is that?
I would rather you call it a Springer dinger.
All the way from Galveston.
Than just call it a ding-dong.
Why?
I just don't feel comfortable.
Can I call it a shamalama ding-dong?
I just don't feel like, hey, yeah, so I really like Springer's ding-dong.
I didn't say I liked his ding-dong.
I mean, I feel like that's how it came out.
With another ding-dong. He's got 31 now. I didn't say that I liked his ding-dong, Nick. I said Springer had another ding-dong.
Oh, he's got two ding-dongs.
I don't know. You tell me. You've been in the locker room.
I mean, I only saw one ding-dong.
Okay, well, I'm glad you were looking. So the bottom line is, there you go.
Gosh.
So Springer hit with the long ball yesterday.
Oh,
offense
thank you.
Was fantastic.
Much better.
And the pitching was obviously superb.
Garrett Cole had a very Justin Verlander outing. The one hit was a home run.
Yep.
I thought, this was, 15 strikeouts.
In eight innings.
The one hit was the home run. It was a very Justin Verlander-like outing where – if he was going to give up a run, it was just a solo shot. So.
Yeah. So now they have best record in the game with the Yankees, both at 50 losses, Dodgers at 52 losses. So, again, sitting right where we had said they were going to be, we knew that the schedule for a while there. And here's this last bit of games now. You got this last stretch in this series at home against Oakland starting tonight. That is your last games against teams with a 500 or above record in baseball. And then after that, you just got to continue to take care of business. At home, their record is so good, you don't expect slip-ups either. So hopefully by when all is said and done in this, as they wrap up the final stretch of the regular season, they should be sitting pretty with home field advantage because of the fact that they've been able to stabilize after that 4-6 road
trip. Set a new record, club record with doubles.
Yeah.
Had seven within
the first three
innings. Yeah, they had seven within the first three innings, and I think the record was 10. So they surpassed that. They had, I mean, this is everybody that had a double. Maldonado had one. Altuve had one. Diaz had one. Tucker had two. Stubbs had one. Alvarez had three. And Toro had two. That's a lot of doubles.
And Toro had to hightail his ass to New Orleans after the game just to get ready to cheer for his team.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, here's the other thing. So
please.
Now even your boy Yordan
dump
is back.
Dump that, Nick. Dump that.
Yordan is back on track, too, with as many RBIs as games played.
Yep.
So
I know that means a lot
big.
To Texas. I mean, to Astros fans.
It's just kind of a neat stat.
No.
I'm not saying he's got to do it at the end of the year or anything,
I feel like,
but it's nice to see that.
You're not the only one.
No,
but there are tons of Astros fans.
I didn't say that I was looking at it like that he had to
do it. Up.
You know what I am saying? Yeah, because this is what we do. We talk sports. And bringing it up,
talk
too.
Talk meaningless records.
That, too. And ding-dongs. And when we were talking about all these things and looking at what Yordan was able to do, people were like, oh, my God, he's falling off. Here's the big collapse now. Now he got off to a hot start, but he's not going to be able to maintain. No, he's going to be just fine. Just like the football season we were talking about, ebbs and flows, ups and downs. He had a little bit of a down.
Just like their bullpen.
I don't know about that.
So Davinsky went.
I'll tell you, their bullpen was strong yesterday. I was impressed with yesterday. Yes, if anything is the postseason, anything like yesterday, bullpen wise, we're good.
I heard something on a broadcast that said Rondon over his last 17 outings has only given up one run. Was that right? Or
Can't
17
be.
Innings or
he's,
something like
he's
that?
He's given up a few that had a stewardess and a freaking in-flight movie.
But if I'm looking at the game log, you bitched about Hector Rondon.
Oh, don't you suddenly come back from the dark side. Now you're a Rondon guy again.
Listen,
you joined that bitch session.
You bitched about him the entire month of August. Do you know what his ERA was in August? 2.19.
Well, then why'd you jump off so quickly?
It was 2.19.
Why did you jump off
I jumped
the
off on the
so
whole.
Quickly?
I jumped off on the whole Astros bandwagon, but I'm saying – you started it. You bitched about him. He had a 2.19 ERA in the month of August.
And I'll continue. Every time he takes the mound and does what he likes to do, I will continue to say in the playoffs, I do not want to see Hector Rondon take the mound for the Houston Astros.
In the last 15.1 innings, he's given up three earned
runs.
Here
we go. Now you're going to be back on him, Osuna. Who else?
In fact, in the last 19.1
innings. Circle of death is just absolutely murderous now, right?
19.1 innings, he's given up three earned runs. I mean, it's okay to take the L, Joel.
I'm
it's
not
okay
taking that L.
You were wrong about the Astros bullpen, and it's okay. I know.
Astros fans,
I know.
We want to hear from you. Whose side are you on this thing? Because, boy, I ain't feeling as good as Barry is about the bullpen right now. And, by the way, Ryan Pressly still isn't ready to pitch yet, so we'll see how it's going to be between now and playoff time because that'll be something to watch.
Why don't you just go look at Springer's ding-dong?
Well, you told me he had two. I don't know what you're looking at unless you had more than rose-colored glasses on. Jeez. All right, we'll continue to roll almost to the midway point of the show. Therefore, it's time for you to be in the know, too. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the fact that there's a big one. We were talking about the Longhorns bouncing back and the Rice Owls, and guess what? There is a showdown at NRG Stadium, the Owls and the Longhorns, Saturday, September 14th, presented by Smart Financial. Don't miss out on a primetime college football game between two old Southwest Conference rivals battling it out on Houston's biggest stage. It's NRG Stadium. It's the Owls and the Longhorns. Tickets as low as $35. Call 713-348-OWLS or visit RiceOwls.com/NRG to get your tickets right now. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back, rolling through another show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, on the go, wherever you may be in the big city. Appreciate you being a suspect, taking us along for the ride. Second half of the show starts now, so 90 in the books, 90 still to go as we continue to roll through. A quick reminder, Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, airing tonight instead of Tuesday night. It was a big deal. It was the groundbreaking in Austin for the new Austin MLS club. Glenn's going to have all the details, so make sure you catch Soccer Matters tonight right here on ESPN 97.5. Barry, I know you'll be tuned in.
I will totally be tuned in, without a doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
Want to bet?
All right, let's catch up on some text.
Okay.
Did any of you guys catch Lamar Jackson's press conference yesterday?
Yep.
He said he threw the ball pretty well for a running back. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he was good.
I didn't catch that, but that is very funny.
Yep.
I like that. Let's see. What's Trucker Pookie wanted to know, what is DBU? Sorry, I'm just getting into college ball. So DBU stands for Defensive Back University. It's basically just a play on words saying LSU wears shirts that says DBU because they've produced a lot of really good NFL caliber defensive backs that have been drafted and played and done well.
Ryan Clark, Tyron
Matthew.
So
you'll hear like QBU or running back U or linebacker U, and DBU is just another one. So they're just saying it's Defensive Back University. And then obviously Texas tried to do the same. And then they both combined almost gave up 1,000 yards. So, hey, Joel and Barry, I had a question about the Antonio Brown saga. This is from Mario from the 409. Is AB still on the hook for his fines from the Raiders? I'm part of a union, and when our members get fined by the union, we have to pay it before we can work again. I think he should have to pay the fines and not get away with being a clown. That's a really good question. Mm. My assumption would be he has to pay the fines, but I don't know if I don't know for sure.
I think Tyler says no. I say yes.
Oh, I would think.
I think I saw a tweet saying that it was all just basically pro bono, because the only way that he can pay those fines is if he gets paid by the team.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. As long as with the players' union, as long as he signs with another team, and even if he doesn't, that's on him, because you know when you join the NFL and you see all the rules and regulations of being a player in this league and what constitutes being a player in the NFL, you know that you're subject to fines and you're responsible for those fines.
Here's a quick little note that says, along with the $215,000, in addition to fining Brown $250,000 for conduct detrimental to the team that voided the $21 million worth of guaranteed money, the Raiders sent Brown a letter that he is no longer entitled to termination pay if they release him. So I don't know. I mean, he still got fined, and he still made some money for the offseason workouts that he attended and stuff. So if he drew a check in any way, shape, or form, I would think that the fines are still on the table. Because like the texter said, he's in a union, and this is a players' union.
So that's what I was getting at. But here's the other thing, Tyler, to your point where you might be right, is the fact that NFL players always say they don't get paid till week one. That's why this whole thing was coming down to a deadline, too. So if he did not, Barry, contrary to what you said, if they don't get paid for the preseason, if he's not collecting checks just for showing up, then he could get off the hook for it because he never really got a check from the Raiders.
I'd be interested to know.
Signing bonus, though.
Yeah,
signing bonus, then he would have received money. So that it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that offhand. I don't think anybody at the table does. But great question and good for throwing it out there. Maybe we can do some research and find that out. Because
so I'm on the NFL operations page. I'll see if I can find anything about paying fines.
I'd make sure he had to pay that thing, all those things. Because you know what? That was on him. It's just like I always think it's always amazing, too, that teams just – kind of do bygones be bygones and forget about it when a guy holds out.
Right.
And then after they either reach an agreement or he comes back in, that you just say, yeah, let's just forget about that, you know, six-figure amount of fines that you tallied while you decided to skip all of our practices.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, hey, fellas, is it true that Philly fans took a coffin with Sean Taylor's jersey? And who was the tall black guy fighting that crew?
So Mike Scott, who was a throw-in in the Tobias Harris trade with the Sixers last year, is a member of the Sixers, but he's a Redskins fan. So he was out there on Instagram yesterday going to the game, showing everybody he was wearing, I believe, a Sean Taylor Redskins jersey. He was wearing, you know, Redskins, like, pajama pants. He was all fired up for the game, and he was going to an Eagles tailgate party. an official tailgate party. And all over the interwebs, as you call it, Barry, there was video surfacing of the fact that he got into a fight right before kickoff in the parking lot with Eagles fans. And it got a little nasty. And then the people that put that video up then took it down and were trying to say nothing happened. Well, then, oh, by the way, the Sixers came out with a statement and said, we're very aware
of the fight,
of the incident that happened yesterday, and we're looking into it to get more details. So, obviously, it did happen. And some of the video I saw, there was a coffin. And I was like, do they do this every week for whoever they're playing and say, you know, this is so-and-so team and it's just a gimmick? But if it definitely was a Sean Taylor jersey, I know Eagles fans have a bad rap that they well deserve in a lot of ways for things of the past. That's as low down, I think, as you can get.
It's classless.
Completely classless.
But would it surprise you that it was Philly that
no.
did it?
No. If it was going to be anywhere, that's where it would be. It doesn't make it right. I think it's disgusting.
And then you want to, you know, and then so you bring it up, and then you'll have, because I do sometimes on stage, I'll make jokes about Philly fan, how they booed a baby and all that. And inevitably, you'll have Philly fan be like, hey, we get a bad rap. No, you don't. You get the rap that you earn. And when you put a coffin out with a player that's passed away and his jersey's on the coffin, this is the reputation that you earned.
This is the portion of the Usual Suspects, which we put on repeat for you several times a year only because you're Philly fans. You threw snowballs at Santa Claus. You had a courtroom in your stadium to convict all of the different people that were doing things illegally during games. What was the lady? She was 90 years old. And you made her cry.
No, they chanted that she was the C word in the streets of Philly.
And made her cry.
And then you booed a baby.
You threw full beer cans at fans of another team going into a playoff game and found joy in hitting them from a distance. So reputation, it's everything.
Yeah, you earned it. Either way, the fight itself I thought was kind of funny because there was a bunch of really small dudes trying to get
feisty,
in on that.
Feisty, though.
They were
to
feisty.
Go after like a 6'8", 6'9", guy and come in haymakers first, diving at him. I give him credit for going in to try and settle the deal.
Being tough and brave, I suppose, or drunk and dumb, one of the two.
Because let's be honest.
Or
I
both.
Mean, if Mike Scott wanted to, he could have crushed him. But, I mean, I think whether he was thinking it through the whole way or not, I think in the back of his mind, he knew the last thing I need to do right here is get arrested and make this really bad.
Yeah, and he wore it. The funny thing is he had on his Redskins jersey, and of course this is all in Philly, but he plays in Philly. He's a Philadelphia
Sixer.
76er.
Yep.
So they're fighting their own basketball team member. This is dumbest. Like, it's only in Philly would something moronic like this happen, really.
I just think it's – that's ludicrous, but if that part of the story comes to fruition,
if it was,
and they put a Sean Taylor, that is where throughout the entire NFL, people will have a lot to say about that.
Holly is tweeting us that it's not. It looks like it's a party like it's 1991 shirt. It says, the good old party like it's 1991 Sean Taylor jersey, a classic. Because I'm guessing that's not it. So,
that's what's on the coffin. Because Mike Scott definitely was wearing a jersey.
Yeah, there's a picture of it. It says Party Like It's 1991, and it's a Redskins shirt. So,
okay, regardless, not the classiest of classy moves from a fan base that has a reputation for not exactly being classy. Fair?
Oh, totally fair.
Right?
Yeah, this is the equivalent of Texans fans at a pregame. And then P.J. Tucker's out there in his Saints jersey. And so Texans fans fight P.J. Tucker. This is stupid. It's like, why are you I don't understand.
Just dumb.
Yeah.
Just absolute ludicrous.
So even if it wasn't a Sean Taylor jersey, and I hope it wasn't, and I hope Holly's right, still, you just fought a 76er, you idiots.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Let's just, look, and you got a good football team. So just let it, let it all be decided on the field.
They weren't good at first.
Man. Yeah, that's true. They didn't start well, but they finished strong.
They looked good, It was almost like that first half they were just trying to figure it out because they hadn't played a lot in preseason or whatever.
Tell you what.
Once they figured it out, boy,
and
Philly looks good.
And Alshon
Philly
Jeffries,
is legit.
For the fact that, a lot of people are saying, well, for this week he's going to be their third best receiver. I don't know about anything else, but one, I realized DeSean Jackson doesn't get old and can still go deep. And if he keeps getting deep like he did yesterday and Wentz keeps throwing the ball up, he's going to have a hell of a year. He had two long home run touchdowns.
Philly's scary. Dallas is scary.
NFC's loaded.
Yeah.
And none of the top five teams are in Green Bay. So, yeah, I'll finish that for you people right now before you come at me. Because, look, the NFC's
hey,
got a lot of good teams.
They put up 10 points, buddy.
Beat the Bears.
Aaron Rodgers put up 10 whole points, man.
Beat the Bears.
All right, that's true.
All right. So we'll continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3-hour show. So we've got plenty more time to go. If you want to get in here like a lot of you have been doing, chiming in, whether you do it by text, tweet, or, of course, skip the phone calls today because we're on the road, we'd love to hear from you. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. But more importantly, hit us up on Twitter if you get the chance, and we'll be sure to answer back right on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back and rolling through the show as we are almost done with hour number two, getting ready to roll into the final 60 minutes and have covered a bunch of ground. We've talked Astros, we've talked college and pro football, talked about the Texans, and talked to you guys in terms of what's on your mind, what you're talking about, and what is making the most sense to you and maybe not so much sense to you as you recap what happened in the sports weekend over the last couple of days.
Can I give a shout-out to the real MVP this week, Jeshua Watt?
Okay.
So
Jeshua Watt.
Yes.
Okay. I'm
why,
listening.
Why are you,
I don't know who that is.
Watts,
but okay.
Not Watt. My bad. Watts. So as you know, I really wanted those Jordans that dropped last weekend, and I didn't get them. I got you a size 12, and you didn't want them. So I was stuck with a size 12.
I didn't say I didn't want them. I got a kid on the way.
Oh, right. My bad. I mean, that still means you didn't want them. But I was kind of like, well, I got these 12s. I didn't know what to do with them. So I said, hey, if there's a suspect that wants them. And he was like, bro, what size you wear? I said 9. He goes, I have a 9 and I wear a 12. Let's just swap. But you have to give me a usual suspect shirt. So we both got the shoes in this week. Met up on Sunday after I filmed for the TV show. He came through in the clutch. And I'm super pumped about that. So appreciate
it. It's a great deal.
Appreciate
all the way around. Well
yeah.
done.
And then when he showed up, he was flossing because he was wearing the Concords, and he knows I didn't get those too. So I was like, oh, you bastard. You didn't have to do me like that. So
I'll wear them.
Yeah.
But
no, I appreciate that. That
is he was JJ's brother?
That was great.
Oh,
no.
It's Watts.
It's Watts, yeah. Got it. I forgot the S. That's my bad.
That's what the beauty of the suspects are. That's just they always come through the clutch when we need answers, when we have questions, when we're trying to research. For the most part, they're always pretty good about it.
That's great. Speaking of that, one more time, I want to give a plug to Bennett's Bunch. Tyler Miller's son was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy 3 years ago, and he's doing a fundraiser for Muscular Dystrophy Association and Neuromuscular Disease Research. So if you can donate, please do so. And you don't have to have Twitter, Ivan. We learned Tyler actually was the one that said, look, if our profiles are public, you can just go to our profile. So just go to twitter.com/Barry is funny. You'll see my tweets. The very first tweet, I pinned it to the top. It's a link to get to the fundraiser at the MDA website. So please go do that. Tyler was very conservative in how much he wanted to raise. He said $250 was his goal. And I said, no. I think the suspects can do way better than that. I think we could double that. I think we can hit $500. He's at $218 right now. I just checked.
Okay, so, we'll get there.
Well, before we tweeted it out, I think he was initially at $45. Shout out to Cody Stutes for donating. I'm looking at the list right now. I donated as well. I asked people to match mine. If not, just donate what you can. I threw in $50. There's a usual suspect that threw in $25. Abel threw in some money. Mac Daddy threw in $55, showing everybody
wow, Mac
up.
Mac Daddy.
SG's in the house. The Villasenor family donated. So y'all keep giving, please. We're at $218. I'd love to hit that $250 before we go off the air. So I need you to do that. Go to twitter.com/Barry is funny. Check it out. The
Lisa's
link's
on
right
it
there.
For us because I was driving when we got that. So hopefully that will go up regardless
yeah.
of the end of the show.
So go donate. I want to be at that $250, and then we'll work on doubling that this week. And I know we can do that. So
yeah.
We appreciate all the suspects. And shout out to Tyler Miller and Bennett's Bunch.
Now let me ask you a question.
Okay.
All
ask
right.
me. Ask me the question. Yes, I'll marry you.
You are my work wife. That's the way it stands. So you are a connoisseur of cuisine.
I am a connoisseur of food, yes.
You
I am a
cook
human being that eats.
From time to time, too. Where are you on these cooking classes? That, you know, it's kind of like the rage. It used to be like it went from Top Golf to Lucky Strike and things to do, and then it went to like painting class where you could drink while you're doing it. Now they have these cooking classes, and the reason why I ask this before you answer is it's one thing to say
so you don't want my answer.
I do.
Is what you're saying.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead. Tell me where you're at on it.
I think they're dumb. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Now, so that's good, because if you thought they were dumb just initially, just like for you and Nora to go to and, you know, kill an evening as a date night, and you drink a bottle of wine, you cook food, and then you see how it turns out. Where are you on a cooking class like that for four-year-olds?
What?
Saturday, after I got back from playing hoops.
Is it? Okay.
You
so
know how,
many questions.
Yeah, and believe me, and I don't know how many I'm going to be able to answer, because I have as many as you had. I get home, and Lisa's like, so you know Taylor's got a birthday party at 2:30. I was like, oh, because, you know, Taylor's birthday party was 2 weeks ago. And it's like everybody in her class invites everybody else. And I sometimes think the parents are trying to one-up. So everybody did the Urban Air trampolines, and then they ran its course. So then they had a more kind of an upscale indoor with nicer stuff deal that that they decided to go to. They went there. Now it's gotten to the point where it was cooking class, and the kids put on chef's hats and aprons.
This is the most suburban white thing I've ever heard of.
You ain't kidding. It was in Westview. They get up on step stools.
What?
And they make their own spaghetti.
Oh, see.
Meatballs. Cupcakes. And then they all eat together.
Is it all at an Easy Bake Oven where they just make them regular-ass cookies?
They're in a full-blown kitchen.
A four-year-old in
and
a kitchen.
And here's the even more irony.
Bro.
So I'm looking around while they're going through all this and I catch a sign that says, must be five years old or older to be in the kitchen. And I'm going, so we got a whole classroom of four-year-olds, and you're not even of age.
This is well-to-do white people trying to one-up each other on the birthday parties. That's what it is. It's like, oh, okay, so you want to get a bounce house? I'm going to go to the trampoline place. Oh, you want to serve nice food? I'm going to teach these kids how to cook food. I know they're 4 years old. I know they can't even read yet. That don't matter that they can't read the recipe. We're just going to make them get in there and cook. They're not even ambidextrous enough to use two hands. But you know what? We're going to let them cook. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I was amazed. And, of course, all the parents are constantly having to go in the kitchen because the kids are everything from thirsty to have to go to the bathroom. And because of you, I'm like, now, did they wash their hands?
Right.
Because I don't care if it's my kid's meal or someone else's meal. But if you just went to take care of some boo-boo in the bathroom and suddenly you're mixing up a meatball, that's a problem.
I'm out on that. I'm not eating that meatball. How many shirts did y'all give this dude?
So that means that it's all the rage now, like one-upping the next parents terms of how to do the birthday.
That guy over there has walked up now. How many shirts has that guy got?
Same shirt the guy had. He just exchanged it.
Okay. I'm like, we can't be giving out 95 shirts to the same guy.
Well, I think he just ran.
That's too many shirts.
He was doing stairs upstairs in the first one, and
he
decided
he
got too sweaty. So.
They don't even listen. Are we your favorite show? What was your favorite episode? I didn't think so. Give us the shirt back.
And my man's thinking, man, I'm good.
Yeah,
now.
Bro.
I'm good now.
He's like, yeah, I'm in. I am now.
Mac Daddy of the Twin Peaks, Shenandoah. Look out
so
now.
In? No, it's not. By the way, I texted our own Lance Zerline.
Yes.
And asked him, hey, we got asked a question on the show. Does Brown still have to pay the fine? He texted me back. He said, no, he did not get paid by them. They will go get all of any signing bonus he spent, so there's no fining when he never got money. So I guess in a way they did fine him, and they're getting the money and any other money he spent.
There you have it. You have questions, we have answers. Whether you guys give them to
us or we give them to you,
that's the way we work as suspects. We love it, so that is always good. Just like that, 2 hours already in the books for
crazy
us.
Times.
That means an hour still to go on the show. 60 minutes on the clock, still got plenty more to get to. And, of course, we want to address anything that you want to get to that we haven't touched on or you want to get back to. That means if you want to circle back on anything that happened this weekend, college or pro football, you want to talk about the Texans tonight, getting ready for the Saints, or you want to talk about the Astros opening up that series against the Oakland A's, we're here for you, and we're ready to go. So join us, and we'll kick it around for you, as well as, again, if you want to join the show via text message or Twitter today. That's the only way we're doing it because we're on a remote here at Twin Peaks in Shenandoah. 713-780-3776 if you indeed want to give us a text message or hit us up on Twitter in the final hour. Why are you laughing at me?
Somebody texted and said, I guarantee that's what you'll be doing at your kid's next party. But she really had fun. That's
no
how it
chance,
works.
No chance, because Lisa killed it.
Oh,
Lisa was like, too. Lisa's like,
Lisa thought it
Lisa's
was stupid.
Going, are you kidding me? These kids aren't
good.
Even five yet, and they're in the kitchen. And you expect them.
Girl.
And then, of course, and then, you know what? You know, because then the other thing is now, like in the big party scene, you got to have a gift bag on the way out. You know what they got? Aprons
what?
With badass aprons with their name on it. Everybody got their own personalized apron.
That doesn't make
and
it
a
better.
Chef's hat.
That doesn't make it better.
I'd give them the apron and the chef's hat, and then let them sit down and have some cupcakes.
That's stupid.
Well, there you go. You said it, not me. 1 hour to go in the show. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspect. ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.